This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this morning, this is without a doubt absolutely uncensored. So we are waiting to connect on Skype with a beautiful, beautiful woman in a very, very exciting field of bondage. So, any questions that you have about the art of sensual bondage, the connection between bondage and sexuality, WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Love to hear about your experiences. Something that we worked with and developed at Sexpo a couple of years ago. And it's a fascinating combination, bringing two seemingly very separate worlds together in the most beautiful way, and seemingly separate because they're both about sensation, about possibility, about expanded pleasure. And in the space, an incredible amount of things happen that's often very, very healing, it's very releasing, it's very empowering, incredibly erotic experience to give as well as to receive. And offers the most amazing possibilities of pleasure. It allows you to go to different spaces inside of yourself, very different roles. It really expands your erotic repertoire, enormous teaching in how to touch, in the build-up of energy, of how energy moves in the body. I heard somebody cough.
It's me.
Ah, there we are. Good morning, Jaylene. Well, it's good night for you.
Yes, it's midnight. Yes. Nice to meet you finally, Jonty.
Absolutely. So we connect a little while ago. And thank you for sharing this with us. It's a beautiful, beautiful platform.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so delighted to be here, and I can't wait to hear a little bit more about your story about combining the two at Sexpo.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Yeah. So we got to do something else first. So let's see if you are smart and wide awake at 12 at night there.
Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag. Philippa GM.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
4G.
Dirty dictionary word.
4G. Any idea what a 4G might be?
You're asking me? I would guess that it would be an orgy containing four people.
There we go. Absolutely spot on. That's an easy one.
Thank you.
Really cool. So tell us the story of bondage. How did you come to this?
Sure. Well, I've been kinky my whole life. I mean, I can't remember a time where I wasn't kinky, and I explored that in many different ways, but mainly as a dominant or as a top with my boyfriends or my partners. In 1989, I went to massage school for Japanese massage, and started volunteering with visiting nurses' hospice in San Francisco, where I lived. Many people were dying of AIDS in the 90s, so I did that for a few years. I moved to Santa Cruz, and I continued to do massage, and I continued to play with kink in my personal life. And when I moved to Santa Cruz, it was just kind of serendipity. I had heard that my rent was going to get raised $500. So I put an ad on Craigslist as a professional dominant. And I got 28 phone calls that day and 300 phone calls that month. And I was often kind of running, doing professional domination. I had, you know, I knew how to do scenes. I wasn't sure about how to do the business, but I knew how to do the scenes. And I was a very heavy sadist. I liked playing very heavy and corporal, with sensation play, with, you know, cock and ball play, nipple play. But I was really missing the massage element, the touch element. And I adore erotic massage, and I've studied it for years and years. And so I, one day I just decided to start combining the two, and I got some really, really great feedback. And, I came up with two different names. One was Massage and the other one was Bondassage, and I asked a couple people, and Bondassage was the one. And, you know, I offered it to, locally, and I got a huge response, and people were coming out from New York to come see me and up from LA, and they wanted me to go up to San Francisco. And so I brought all my stuff up there. Bondassage has a lot of tchotchke tools and toys and things like that. And I brought my things up to my friend Eve Minax's place and said, you know, fuck this. And my whole business model is kind of based on fuck this. It was just too much to schlep. So I started, I said, you know, I need to start training other people. So in at the end of 2008, I launched this in June 2008 or July 2008. And by the end of the year, I started training people in it. And a few years later, I started taking some of those practitioners who I felt were capable of presenting the work and staying true to the sequence, because I created a sequence for Bondassage. I started training trainers, and then they started expanding it around the world. So I have Liana Galand in Tauranga in Australia. I have Goddess Cleo in London. I have a couple trainers up in Canada, and about 20 people in the United States. And we've trained about 280 people so far.
That's fantastic. I love that phrase that you used. I was a happy sadist.
Yes, yeah, it is very happy sadist.
Absolutely,
yes.
It's really wonderful. So it's a world that brings so many things together and creates so many possibilities, because I find that the more that I play with that, the more things open and expand in terms of sensation, in terms of things that you can use. And it just offers people such an expansion of their erotic possibilities, giving and receiving.
Absolutely. I agree. Last year we created, Eve and I wrote the book on Bondassage a few years ago. I think it was 2012. And last year we created a couple of online courses. One, The Art of Bondassage, expands on the book and involves some explorations and has curated shopping list of the things that I really recommend, because as you know, I'm sure you've probably done the same thing, but you know, BDSM things are expensive.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they don't work as well as I want them to. So I want people to save some money and learn from my experience. So I created The Art of Bondassage, and then later on last year we created the advanced video course, which complements and supports that. And there's like over 100 videos, and so we put all the erotic massage videos in there. Eve came in and did some short video demonstrations on some variations on collaring and cuffing ceremonies. We go into different bondage ties and sensation play and safety and all sorts of things, because bondassage can be as large or as small as you like it to be. I think for me, the crucial part is some type of restraint, sensory deprivation with a blindfold, I really highly recommend wireless headphones or headphones connected to specially selected music. Over the years, I've compiled, you know, dozens of hours of music, and people can access that on Spotify if they want to hear what we play. And so those three are the components. I found that, you know, working with clients and even in my own experience too, restraining and blindfolding kind of isn't enough to get some people out of their head and into their body. It really, the addition of the wireless headphones really helps the receiver to drop down deep into their body and start to explore and feel all the sensations and go on this journey. The music that we choose for Bondesage has non-English lyrics. The Bondesage music is a little bit more upbeat. It has a beat because in Bondesage, at one point, we like to do some body percussion, aka corporal punishment, but it's more body percussion because it's all very light and sensual, so flogging and light spanking and things like that. So the crucial things I think for Bondesage is just some kind of restraint, sensory deprivation. I love the headphones. And then just a couple of sensation toys, you know, and you can find these anywhere around your house. You can raid your kitchen and raid your bathroom, and you can get some amazing, amazing sensation toys. Vibrating electric toothbrushes that you can get at the drugstore are fabulous for really fun vibrating sensation play. Oftentimes people don't know what it is because they can't see the toys. That's another fun thing about Bondesage, is you don't need to spend a lot of money on beautiful things, because sometimes the most mundane things can be the most effective. So, you know, combs or forks or whisks or makeup brushes, you know, your hands, absolutely. You have so much potential talent in your hands that you can use for this type of percussion too.
Yeah, and that's an important thing for people to understand, is that it often is quite simple to have these really amazing experiences.
Yeah,
just with a little bit of thought and creativity and preparation. I mean, a while ago at a pharmacy, I found an amazing paddle that's actually a foot scraper. So it's this beautiful shape that's perfect for paddling, and it has the added sensation of having that rough little kind of sandpaper thing in the middle.
That's really
gentle on different parts of the body. And that was really simple and really cheap at a pharmacy.
Absolutely, yeah. Christmas time, we were finding a lot of things. Target, which is a chain store out here, had fake fur wine bags. And I thought, oh, that would be perfect for the people who are vegan and didn't want to use the fur mitts. At IKEA, they have these shoehorns that are the perfect spankers. Learning Bondesage, and I've heard this over and over from the people that I've worked with, it really opens your eyes to different possibilities. You will walk into a cookware store or walk into a hardware store with just fresh eyes and say, oh, I wonder what I can do with this scrubby thing, or I wonder what I can do with, you know, this chamois, which is supposed to be for your car window. How can I use this in a kinky way? It's really fun.
Yeah. So we have a big chain of hardware stores here called Builder's Warehouse, and they become amazing shopping places. There's actually a game that I've taught couples that you play with your cell phone, and you go to a shopping mall and take a picture of something in a shop window and send the picture to your partner and talk about what you would like to do with that particular item.
Oh, that's fabulous. That sounds really yummy.
Yeah, and it can really build up this anticipation for what's going to happen later, because did you buy it? And are you bringing it home? And what are we going to do with it tonight?
And I bet it could be something completely out of the context of what you had discussed. Because creativity, you know, sometimes I found for myself and when I train practitioners that narrowing the amount of toys you play with really forces you to look at your toys in a different way and see how many different things you can do with this item.
Yeah.
For example, I had a wooden hairbrush. I used the bristles for a dry brush in a circular motion for dry brush skin rub. I used the bristles as tapping. I used the back of the hand brush as a smooth sensation item. I smacked their bum with that as a really heavier spanking. I turned it sideways and used it as a thumper. I've taken the handle, put a condom on it, and used it internally. So you can get a lot of different, you know, if you just start narrowing the limit of what you're playing with and see how many different, see how many different ways you can use your toys.
Yeah, and that's
it's really fun.
It's fantastic that because it really forces you to expand the way that you look at what you have and your body. And that's, I think, such a beautiful thing is when you start looking at the body differently, you start to see some very different possibilities.
Absolutely.
And for me, doing a lot of massage and body work and teaching a lot, one of the most amazing things becomes positioning the body differently.
Mm-hmm.
And very often we think, so somebody has to be lying down, but they don't always, because standing and sitting offer incredible possibilities. And every time you move somewhere, you see a different perspective and you see your partner in ways that you've never seen them before.
Absolutely. In a lot of my S&M sessions, I would have, use the sensory deprivation and have people standing. However, I had a couple of experiences because I like the room warm where they get lightheaded, especially if your hands are above their head. So I ended up starting to have people kneel on my massage table underneath whatever I was, suspending them from. And that was more helpful for me and gave them more of a sense of security because, if somebody passes out and is dropping with their full weight on you, you've got to really deal with that in the moment, and that's not fun. But bondage, we do bondage on the table. We do bondage on a massage table.
And one of the most amazing additions for that are the Liberator cushions. You know, the wedges.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they allow for so much amazing body access for men and women.
Yes. And then I take my, and I show this in the Art of Bondage in the video course. I've taken my massage table and I drilled holes down the sides and I put eye bolts in so that I have more places to tie ropes to. So that if I want to tie the body in a different way, perhaps say if they're limber and perhaps their face up, I can tie their knees out to the side in kind of a frog leg position. It gives me a lot of variety.
Yeah. And that's amazing because simply changing the position of the body and putting somebody in that creates a very different body awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It really highlights certain areas of the body, like it opens certain creases that a lot of times we're not aware of.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The sits bones underneath. And, I created a sequence with bondage, and I teach everybody the sequence and then they are free afterwards to make it their own. However, the sequence that I created with bondage is a 90-minute sequence and it's an hour face down and a half an hour face up. And so when I teach it, I teach that it's important to put somebody in a comfortable position because they're going to be face down for a long time. And I don't want the receiver to be worried about, my legs are a little bit too far, So I really teach the practitioners to watch the body, watch how the person is processing the sensations, be tuned into their energy. And so we don't do a lot of changing of positions in bondage. However, bondage happens to be a modality where people come back over and over and over again. I just had a client, lovely client who passed away a couple months ago, and he had seen me 99 times and every time was different. So, every time we do a different tie or we'd start differently. And bondage, once you learn a few things, you can do so many different things with it. And there is really no right way or wrong way to do it, especially if couples are doing it, with each other. And the point is just to be present and connected and enjoy the sensations and be aware of, the receiver's energy. One trick I see, I work with a lot of men and men can be stoic at times, women too, but men can be stoic. And so I might be doing something and I'm not getting any reaction to it. And this happens a lot in body work as well. But I notice that if I'm watching their feet and their toes, if I'm doing something like some flogging or some spanking or paddling or something, and I'm bringing it, I'm increasing the intensity, I can watch their toes and see how I'm doing, even if the rest of their body doesn't change. So that's a little tell to kind of just gauge how things are going.
Yeah, there's always a little sign somewhere, and that's
yes,
it's that's one of the things about presence and really being focused, and these kind of experiences increase your presence with your partner. And even if you're doing this professionally, as opposed to often with other massage, you kind of drift off and you come back. But the the presence of this and the presence that it requires is amazing, and it really gives you a very different connection with people. It really deepens that in the intimacy of it. And paying that much attention to your partner, to their body, and learning these different signs becomes an incredible expression of intimacy and love in that. And it's subtle.
And it's a wonderful way to explore how the body reacts to different things. I've had people come in and say, you know, I don't like pokey things. But then the way I do the Wartenberg wheel, they might like it, you know, or they might like it on a certain type part of their body. So it's an exploration. Yeah, definitely. And also as the giver and as the receiver, if you're going to talk about kink dynamics or S&M dynamics or dominant submission dynamics, the giver can either come from a dominant position where I'm going to do with your body what I want because that feels good to me. Or you can come from a, I am serving you and this is a journey for your pleasure, or a combination of the both, you know, a combination of both. And yeah. And receiving can be the same way. You can receive passively. You can receive kind of as a submissive. You can set up the scene, the scenario, so that, you know, I want this, 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 and this. And you can kind of run the scene from the table as well, too, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's very much an organic relationship. So both partners are expanding and growing.
Correct.
And that's really beautiful in the learning of that. So a big focus of mine is, well, the focus of almost all my work is very much the healing component. And I find that these experiences are often incredibly healing and empowering for people. So most of my work is with women. And the healing that comes from being able to go deeply into sensation, for being given permission and giving themselves permission to have the fullness of the experience is enormous.
I agree. And cathartic. An experience like bondage can be, or tends to be, almost trance-like. You know, people go so
very much
deep.
So.
And afterwards, I've had women giggle and laugh hysterically. I've had men sob. But pretty much across the board, people are pretty nonverbal after a session. You know, at the end of a session, we wrap them up similarly to what they do in sexological bodywork. So we wrap people up in a cocoon and sit with them and keep my hands on them until they kind of go down and then come back up, and then stay with them as they get back to their body. But it is a very cathartic, very profound experience.
Yeah.
And things can come up afterwards, especially in body related, you know, body work, that type of thing. You know, many things will come up days after. So it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it brings an enormous amount to the surface. And often a seemingly simple experience goes so deep that it can take a couple of weeks of processing the issues that come up. And the interesting thing that I found was when we started doing this at Sexpo, and we totally did it with volunteers, with people who were interested in having the experience, and doing it in a public space became incredible, because the people watching became entranced, and this energy exchange that happened created this incredible cocoon for people having the experience to go so deep, often deeper than in a private session.
How wonderful. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was really fascinating to watch and to be doing this in front of 50, 60, 100 people even more was, it was entrancing. And to be able to show people the fact that, because the perception is that, that bondage or S&M play is only about pain. And to be able to show them the sensuality and the mixture of that. And that for me has always been the power, is the sensuality.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And you can torture somebody with light touch just as much as you can with heavy touch.
Even more so,
very
often.
Energetic touch, the tease, the denial, the bringing them close, you know, it really is just a wonderful roller coaster ride. Yeah.
And that's, for me, one of the most beautiful thing is that it's so much more of an energy experience manifesting in the physical way. That the connection is so much deeper, and that it simply becomes this expression of energy moving through the body.
Absolutely. And you're energetically connected because you're not getting verbal feedback from the person on the table, right? So you need to energetically connect with your partner and be able to tell in your body what's going on with theirs, you know? So that's a very incredible way to create connection and deeper the intimacy between two people. Yeah. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
And there's an idea that I teach in sensual massage is very much that in the giving, there is the most incredible power of receiving going into yourself. And this is a space that allows that even more. And because of the presence and the fact that you have to be so present during this.
Absolutely.
So it becomes an amazing experience for the giver, incredibly personal and profound and powerful, and often will be an amazing reflection of what's happening inside of you as the giver, where your blockages are, where your withholds are, how deep you're willing to go into yourself is the depth you're willing to allow your partner or the place that you'll take them to. So what you fear in that space is what will come out and will often be reflected in the play.
That's interesting. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that's really, really amazing. In the journey of this, what has awoken within you that was never there before?
More compassion, I think. I think more compassion for men. I had a lot of anger towards men. I love men, and I also had a lot of anger towards men in particular and the patriarchy and all that. And doing bondage and doing sensual domination and connecting in a sensual way has really opened my heart to see how beautiful these men are and how tender they are, you know, and I so respect their ability to come to somebody that they don't know and offer themselves up to experience this, you know, the level of trust, you know, or exploration or adventure or whatever, to do that. I'm touched and honored. You know, as a woman, I would not go to a man that I didn't know and that I hadn't worked with before and experienced this. So I think just my heart has been kind of broken open and really healed some anger I had against, towards men in general, from decades, from, you know, early on. And so that's been really healing for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Interesting, in South Africa, being a very conservative country sexually and, being very repressed, where pornography and erotica were outlawed for so long. And even in a discussion with friends the other night, we were talking, there was a magazine here called Scope, and their thing was they would have pictures of these nude women with black squares over nipples and over genitals. And then their big expansion was these actually became scratch-off squares.
Oh.
You know, where you would take a coin, like on a lottery card, and you'd be able to scratch that off. And yet there's anything that's repressed comes out in very aberrant ways. So we have this incredible proliferation of massage parlors and brothels in South Africa. And for me, it's always kind of one of the sadness sad things about that is that we can't, well, more and more we can, and now we can openly, is offer people these experiences of a, and I don't want this to come across in a judgmental way, but a much higher level of experience.
Mm-hmm.
To mm-hmm. just kind of a, like a tickle and a jerk off massage.
Right, right. And how is kink represented in South Africa? How is that, has BDSM been around forever? Is it relatively new?
Well, it's been around for South a long Africa? Time. And it's a reasonably small community that is growing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that had big impact here was the movie and the book of 50 Shades.
Yeah.
As bad as it was, and we've had lots of discussions about how terrible it was, but it brought a lot of stuff into the open. You know, I remember getting on a plane once to go down to Cape Town to teach. It's a city that's about 2 hours flight from here. And walking down the aisle and seeing three women reading the book in public.
I know 20 years ago that would have never happened. No. I know.
And that was
I think this is really amazing that we live in this time, you know, S&M and 50 Shades for whatever has really opened the door and brought BDSM and other things too. It's been out for a while here, especially in the United States, but it's become way more mainstream. So it's not so radical. Mm. And when I created Bondissage, I thought that the BDSM players who were looking for a more erotic touch would be the ones that would resonate with Bondissage. But the people that came for Bondissage were people that had experienced tantra or sensual massage, that wanted to dip their toes in the kinky waters, but they didn't want to go to a professional dominatrix because it's too scary and it's going to hurt, right? So Bondissage is a great kinky sampler play. You get to try a lot of different aspects of BDSM within one session. And then again, it's great for repeat for multiple sessions, because once I realize what your body responds to, then I can focus more on those types of toys or those types of sensations or that type of massage stroke or whatever. And we can go deeper into that.
Yeah. And that's amazing when we can start to look at experiences like this almost as spiritual and energy practices in a way that like you go to yoga, for example, and over time you really start to understand the benefits of yoga. And that only happens by going regularly, by going deeper, by learning a little bit more and allowing your body to do that. And we, I think, never really looked at a lot of sexual experiences, particularly with a sex professional in the same way. That it becomes a practice of healing, of growth, of learning, of experience. Mm-hmm. And the more that we do that, the deeper we'll go into that and see the amazing benefits that start out as an erotic experience but expand into something so much more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you can read about it all you want and you can watch videos, but there is nothing like embodying it. It's
absolutely
nothing. You don't learn it. I mean, you don't get it until you experience it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the more that you experience it, giving and receiving, the more you see what it is and the possibilities from it.
Yeah.
And that's the absolute beauty of it.
Good.
Yeah, and that's really, really amazing that it is this endless exploration, because there is no limit to pleasure.
Correct.
And I love that. And seeing different things wake up on a body that were never that sensitive before. And all of a sudden, as energy starts to flow, wow, this is a whole new world of possibility.
And Bondissage is it's a process and not, There's not really a goal. I mean, there can be within the time constraints and things like that, but you can do Bondissage as long or as little as you want. One thing, when the person's on the table, tend to lose all sense of time. So, you know, a 20-minute session could feel like 2 hours. Mm. And, you know, yeah. So, and it's wonderful for for getting away from that goal-oriented kind of sexual encounter where it's getting off and having the orgasm and how many orgasms can you have. It's how long can I enjoy this? How much more pleasure can I experience? How much more can I contain? How can I breathe it and move it around the body? And that becomes just such a really beautiful exploration.
Yeah. It's one of the prime principles that I teach almost everybody in every workshop is to get out of that goal of orgasm, because it becomes such a trap in a way. And orgasms are wonderful. And I work with a lot of women who don't have orgasms, who want to have deeper orgasms and internal orgasms and are not, and the healing of that. And it's fantastic. And orgasms really are wonderful. But they also become a trap in terms of if that's all that we're focusing on, then that's where we go. And we simply go into a pattern. And then the judgment that we put on an experience is that's the criterion for a successful experience, instead of saying, it's actually about pleasure and intimacy and connection and energy and all of those things, not just the orgasm.
Yeah.
And the possibility of expanding sensations gives us that in a really beautiful way.
Absolutely.
It's a huge thing. And especially for men to learn that, to get out of that pattern of orgasm.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of, edging and tease and denial, bringing the energy up and bringing it back down. Part of the way I set up Bondassage was I do a little bit of massage, a little bit of kink play. So it's bringing up the energy and then it's spreading out through the body. So you're doing, some basic massage strokes and things, and then you go and do some more erotic work and kinky work and bring the energy up and then spreading it out through the body. So there always is this kind of ebb and flow. And I found that, especially taking time and going slow enough to, helps allow for so much more expansion for the receiver to experience and embody more pleasure and more energy.
Yeah. And that's just such an important idea. And so many of these ideas are so simple in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't come up with it. I mean, Tai and Tease has been around forever. You know, I just took my basic Japanese massage sequence and my basic kind of diagnostic BDSM sequence that I would give to people when, if they've never experienced BDSM, kind of had a diagnostic where I would throw a lot of different things at them to see what their bodies responded to. Mm-hmm. And I really love playing with my thing is I'm not a verbal dominatrix. I don't do the psychological dominance and submission. I really love to play with the body. Mm-hmm. And I found that it's easier for me to play with the body if I can get you out of your head. So I'm not talking to you. You're not looking at me. You're going deep into your body and I'm playing with you and your energy from that space.
Yeah. So I so relate to that because so much of my work is body related and always has been. And that for me is the real beauty and the power. I absolutely love
that. And also, I don't know if you find this, but I do better work when I don't talk. You know, even when I was doing therapeutic massage for 30 years, you know, I found that, I mean, people, I'll do whatever they want, you know, for therapeutic, if they want to talk, that's fine. A lot of people need to just talk and chatter and get the stuff out of their head before they finally settle down. But, I do better work and they receive a better experience in silence if you're not engaging in, you know, verbal and talking and listening and if you're not up in your head.
Yeah. In my practice, it's kind of a mixture that the talking part of any session will be very separate to the body work.
Yeah.
And that's where the energy really shifts. That's where the release happens. Mm-hmm. And then the mind becomes important in understanding it, putting it in a context, making the connections. But the shift and the release happens in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the magic is.
Yeah, that's where the magic is.
Yeah. And I love that, and it's such an honor to be able to do this work in that way with people. It's always so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And how beautiful.
So how did you get started with kink? Was that part of, you know, just kind of your makeup, or were you drawn to it, or how did that manifest for you?
Yeah, I think it was always there to some extent. I mean, the very first probably paragraph of pornography that I ever read, it was a book that was in my father's cupboard. It was this hidden thing. And on the first page of this book was a paragraph from the book. And I read it so many times that to this day, I mean, I'm 50, 52, 53 years old now. And it was about 12 or 13 when I read that, that to this day I probably remember most of that paragraph, and it was very much about a domination scene. And that just touched something inside of me. So I think it was always there. And that's an interesting idea, is that I think a lot of our sexuality is there from so young.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It was for me. You know, it definitely was for me. And have you experienced this, Jonty? Have you been on the table and experienced this type of work? And how is that for you?
I have had very little experience because there's not a lot of people here who are doing this.
Yeah.
So I've had more bondage experiences. And for me, the sensual bondage is incredibly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the deepest experience was where I was, my feet were put in clamps. I was on a spreader bar. I was winched upside down. And there were about six people touching me. So it was all of these amazing hands on my body. And then there was ice. There was some wax. There was very, very gentle flogging. And that took me to this space of incredible expansion and meditation that lasted for about 2 or 3 hours after I was taken down.
Yeah, it's very profound.
Yeah, and it was actually an experience that was not sexual or arousing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just this incredible, beautiful, honoring and loving sensation. And at no time during it was I actually that aroused or turned on. But the power of it was one of the deepest experiences ever.
Isn't that a great secret, that you can get profound transformation without, you know, without the traditional goal-oriented, just by sensation play, yeah. And just by dropping into your body and experiencing this, yeah.
And including genitals in an experience like that, and in a sensual bondage experience, but not taking that to an orgasm.
Correct.
So not leaving anything out, because often we draw more attention by omission than by inclusion.
Right.
That if we leave something out, immediately it's like, that's where the focus is.
Mm-hmm. When are you going to touch this? When are you going to touch that?
That's it. Mm-hmm. I remember going somewhere for a massage once. It was a long time ago. It was a health spa. And I walked into the room and I took the towel I was wearing off and I put it on the floor. And this young woman walked in to give me the massage. And she put the towel on top of me and I chucked it on the floor. And eventually I said to her, listen, I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to make a pass at you. I don't want you to touch my genitals. I'm not interested in anything sexual. I would just like to be nude during the massage. And she couldn't deal with this. This was totally foreign because of, she might have had bad experiences in the past. She might have been so conditioned and taught that this has to be covered up.
Yeah.
And eventually she took two sheets of paper towel, kind of kitchen towel, and put them on the cheeks of my butt. And then when I turned over, she immediately covered my genitals with this paper towel. And it's just the separation of your body, you know, this breaking up of this beautiful landscape of skin.
Right.
That's always fascinating. That even just a stroke that includes the genitals, that's not about sex, makes such a difference. Because we've separated our genitals. We've so disconnected from them and put them in this context of they come out in very specific circumstances and they can only be touched in this way. And then we put them away again.
Correct. And isn't it beautiful to start exploring all these different ways?
Mm, absolutely. That are not always directly sexual, or more about sexual energy, that just building a little bit of that sexual energy to spread it through the body and use it in a bigger scale. So where around the world is bondage at the moment?
We have in the United States, in Canada, in Australia, in London. We're training a new practitioner in Sweden in a couple weeks. And so, Jonty, when you come out to America, you have to come get trained in it.
I would love that. It would be beautiful to share a platform with you. Yeah, that would be really, really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You ever get to the States?
I haven't yet, but I'd love to. I'd love to come and teach there. There's a lot of people that I have been chatting with in the world of Tantra, of conscious sexuality. Spent some time talking to a fantastic therapist specializing in kink and fetish play. I don't know if you know him, Galen Fuss.
Oh, yeah, Galen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've had some really great conversations.
Good.
So really cool. Let's go somewhere different because we just got a question mm-hmm. from one of our listeners who wants to know about yoni eggs. His wife wants to get one and wants to know the benefits of yoni eggs. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's not my expertise, so I don't know that I should really comment on this. I've certainly practiced with yoni eggs, and I found an incredible healing with yoni eggs. It's not part of Ondasaj, and it's not something that I feel confident to teach or to really comment on. Do you have experience, Jonty, with yoni eggs and showing women how to use yoni eggs or working with them?
Not very much. So the only thing that I would say is that if you do a web search on the benefits, you'll come up with some interesting things. And a lot of them will help with kind of toning yoni muscles, with toning the vaginal muscles, which will give more pleasure. Because the more toned the muscles are, the more pleasure there will be. The one interesting thing that I have discovered is that when there's tension in the tissues of the yoni, then very often just expanding it doesn't always release the tension.
Mm-hmm.
Because our body will naturally tighten up to hold onto a pain as a protection, as a defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do some very gentle internal yoni massage and often link that with emotions, with some breathing, with release, then you open the tissue, and after that, working with the eggs becomes more effective.
Mm-hmm. There's some very good teachers, Kim Anami, A-N-A-M-I.
Yes, I know who she is.
I think she's in Bali. She does a lot of work with yoni eggs. And Leila Martin is also doing a lot with yoni egg teaching.
Yeah, I'm sure there is somebody here who's doing some work with them. So just do a web search. But thank you for your question, because it's a really interesting question. And the one interesting...
Now, how could we use yoni eggs in a kinky way? Because yoni eggs have the little drilled holes at the top. You could slide a little piece of dental floss through that, and you can use the yoni egg to roll on the body. You could use it as a thumper. I mean, I'm already using it for... I'm already figuring out how many different ways I could use a yoni egg outside of the way it's supposed to be used, right? How could we use it, within a bondage session?
Yeah. So I got given a gift of some of the of a set of hot stones, the hot stone massage.
Yeah.
And those become absolutely incredible for sensual and erotic massage, and use them in the sensual bondage massage in an amazing way.
Mm-hmm. So the heat goes very deeply.
Yeah. And even just the smoothness of the stones.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
So expanding that into any kind of crystal, because if you go into any crystal shop, they have some incredible shaped stones. Some are even kind of quite cock shaped that can be used, egg shaped, because they're very, very smooth. And then you also kind of get the energy of the crystals.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which can be.
And do a little bit of research to charge the crystals and clear them and do that. If you want to work with crystals too.
Yeah, and some of them can.
And then again, don't put them up your bum without a big base.
No. Absolutely vital.
Sticking things up your bum.
Yes, absolutely. The first rule of anything going into the anus, make sure it's either got a really well anchored string or a really strong base.
Yes.
Absolutely important. Yeah. Does anal play form part of every bondage experience with men?
In the bondage sequence that I created, it is an integral part. A little bit of external, a little bit of internal massage, and then we use a device to a little secret device that we use within bondage. I did the bondage sequence as I created it pretty much on everybody the first time that they come. And then, depending on how their bodies respond to it, then I craft each session based on how they're responding to it. But yes, anal play, especially for men, gentle anal play, and oftentimes men coming in to receive bondage aren't quite aware that we're going to do some anal play. So there's a little bit of you know, not negotiation, but talk about that. Is that okay? Is it all right if I do a little bit of external anal play? Is it okay? Have you ever had any kind of internal, if I do this really gently? They're in a very vulnerable position, and I want them to be able to open up and relax into this. And I don't want them to have any fear that, you know, they're tied down, spread eagle, I could do anything. And I wouldn't, but I want to make sure that that trust is there, that it's going to be gentle. And we can always go further and deeper and harder and more intense in subsequent sessions. But I really tend to stay on the light side the first time through, unless they come in with a lot of S&M experience and tell me differently or yeah.
Yeah. It's becoming much bigger in South Africa for men and women exploring anal play, anal stimulation and pleasure. So becoming a much bigger thing. And a lot more people coming to learn it and learn anal massage, which is just such a beautiful and relaxing and releasing experience. Yes. It's so deeply emotional.
Very Isn't this amazing that we get to do this work, which is limitless, right? I mean, it's constantly expanding, and you can go as deep or as wide as you want. Mm-hmm. And I just feel really grateful and humbled that I'm able to do this, and I think I get that you do too.
Yeah,
that this
I love
is
that.
A very sacred, precious calling to do this work.
It is, and I love the fact that it literally is limitless. That there is always so much more to learn and explore.
Yes,
and I read Malcolm Gladwell's book Outliers a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. where he talks about the fact that 10,000 hours masters a subject. And I look back at all the time that I have done and taught massage in my personal life, which I love doing professionally, mm-hmm. teaching it, and realize that I hit 10,000 hours quite a long time ago, but still mm-hmm. constantly learning and exploring and seeing new possibilities, new ways, and connecting with people like you and sharing what it is that we do and opening to even more possibilities. It's the most incredibly beautiful journey.
It's very satisfying, yes.
Yeah, as a practitioner. And at the end of every day, I'm just spend a moment of a few breaths of being grateful for what I've been able to share in my practice that day. Absolutely love it. Websites, contact information, where do people find more about Bondissage?
Sure. If they want to learn more about the online courses, because there aren't any Bondissage practitioners currently in Australia, I mean in South Africa, until you come out, Jaunty, they can go to learnbondissage.com, and that's where the online courses live. It's LearnBond as in dog, ASSAGE.com. That's where the online courses are. And then there's bondissage.com. So for people who are in other parts of the world who would like to go to a practitioner or go experience this, we have a listing of certified practitioners on there.
That's great. Thank you. And thank you for staying up to chat with us.
1 o'clock really, in the morning, yes.
I really do appreciate it. Well, it's nearly 11 in the morning here, and it's a beautiful sunny day. The temperatures are in the 30s. So a swim and some time in the sun this afternoon, I think, is absolutely necessary.
Well, it's been wonderful, Jaunty. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you, and it'll be really cool to connect in the same physical space.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a wonderful sleep.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye now. Please visit website www.eroslife.co.za. Lots of wonderful stuff there. And a lot of new videos up on our YouTube channel, Eros Life SA. We're putting new content up every week and starting to film some amazing new stuff for this year. So please do that. Next week we'll have information on workshops that are coming up for the first part of this year. And I wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.